Cosmic Shed.
You're listening to The Cosmic Shed, a show that explores the way science and storytelling collide.
We'll be talking about films, books, music, theatre, TV, and anything else that catches our curiosity. From rigorously accurate science fact to ridiculously speculative science fiction.
We don't want to nitpick, but to celebrate the ways science and art can complement and enrich each other.
Mostly, we just want to talk about nerdy things that make us happy.
We've decided to do all of this from a crumbling garden shed somewhere in suburban Bristol.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between. Welcome to The Cosmic Shed. I'm Andrew, and with me today is... You probably will be able to hear in the background a little rustling. That's my daughter Lyra having her breakfast here in the shed, and we can see our breath because it's very cold. Recently, I spotted on my Facebook feed a picture of an alien spaceship over Bristol. I thought, well, what is this? How can there be an alien spaceship over Bristol?
Chester, maybe.
So Lyra thought that maybe it was Chester, her teddy bear, who was flying an alien spaceship, and I thought maybe... It's a new science fiction thing that's been created about aliens landing in Bristol. So I looked into it and I discovered that it was. So I invited the writers to join me here in the Cosmic Shed.
I'm Paul Dubridge and I was co-writer, producer and director.
I'm Simon Pearce. I was a co-writer, co-producer and I play the character of Dan.
And I'm Chris Marshfield, and I'm one of the co-writers, and a producer as well, I suppose.
Exec, yeah.
Yeah, exec.
He approves everything. Yeah, everything goes through Chris.
It goes through me, and I go, yeah, all right.
I'm guessing, and I'm hoping, that everybody listening has watched it all by the time this goes out. But in case they haven't, can someone tell me what it is?
Horizon is a 10-part science fiction web series about an alien ship that arrives over Bristol and five friends that make an attempt to evacuate the city, but they have to deal with looters and obviously a city in panic and military attack and various other things. And it's all available on horizonwebseries.com, and each episode is sort of 4 or 5 minutes long.
The first question I have is why? Why science fiction?
We had done other things before. Si had done a horror, I do a lot of drama work, and we wanted to do a web series, but the two options we had really from a genre point of view were either zombies or aliens. And I've got a little bit of a background in special effects. Walking Dead was on at the time, and both of those points kind of said, well, do you know what, we should look at doing the sci-fi thing. I'd never done something on this kind of scale before, and that's where we kind of started to, you know, go with it, really.
And you're all writing?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, it was really nice, actually, because we've, as Paul was saying, we've kind of done stuff independently as filmmakers. I mean, me and Chris have worked together a lot, but we've never done something sort of all three of us. And it was really good fun, just kind of, basically, we just sat in our living room and just tossed ideas back and forth. And, you know, the whole idea of the show is that, you know, it's fun to make and hopefully it's fun to watch. And, you know, it was a chance for us to do something as filmmakers that you don't normally get to do in a sort of indie drama or something like that, you know, blowing things up and all that stuff. So we basically just started, I guess, by tossing out ideas of what would be cool, what would we like to see. And the starting point was, you know, when Paul first came to us and talked about it being science fiction, you know, the whole starting point was, what if this big alien ship arrived in the sky of your city? What would you do? Because as people see when they watch the show, it doesn't necessarily do anything straight away. You know, but that, I mean, from the point of view of the man on the street, I mean, that changes everything. So, you know, that was kind of our starting point. And it was, yeah, you know, what would you do? Where would you go? As I said, what kind of things might happen? And then slowly we just started to hash out a story and characters. And then basically when it came to sort of the individual episodes, we'd roughly blocked out where we were going to end up and roughly what each one was about. And then we just kind of divvied up. It was just a case of who wants what. And it's like, all right, I'm going to tackle 3, 4, and 5, I'm going to tackle 1 and 2. I mean, Paul had a very strong idea. We open in the middle of a car accident, so you're thrown straight into the action, and Paul sort of came in with that idea already. So we just all kind of tackled whichever episode we felt, and then we came back together and was like, okay, maybe throw that out, or let's keep that, and just worked as a team. It was really good fun.
So as a big action fan, as I am, you know, like action movies and I like sci-fi, but my personal work has always been drama. I like the idea of the whole thing because we could sort of top and tail the show with the effects stuff and the ship. And then, you know, some episodes will be two people talking in a room, which is where I can push the drama angle. And then one episode could be a complete action episode. Instead of saying, right, we're going to make an action movie, which we haven't got the budget for, or we can't do a, you know, a full-length action film, we could actually afford to do it on a smaller scale. So our action episode, which is actually, I think, episode 8, is only 3.5 minutes long. But, you know, we've got MP5 machine guns, shotguns, grenades, everything's going in there. So that was our way of making an action film within the show. And then the next episode episode 9 would be a complete drama again. And then episode 10 is a sci-fi thing with all the ship back in the show. So it's kind of, it was a nice way of mixing it all up and bringing our individual strengths to the piece, really.
We didn't want it to feel like a short or a feature that had just been chopped up for the sake of making it into a web series. You know, we wanted it to feel distinctly kind of episodic. So, you know, hopefully when you watch it, you'll see each episode is, you know, about something different. It's in a very different location. You might be following a different set of characters. As Paul said, some of these big kind of epic action episodes, some are much more intimate with just a couple of people.
The episodic part of it was something that interested us. We hadn't done that.
No.
And I think we talked about things like cliffhangers and, you know, sort of developing characters over a slightly longer period of time and having more going on. But I think in terms of having things in blocks, they're going, here's something, here's something, here's something. But at the same time as well, this has to hold together.
It was designed specifically to be these sort of bite-sized chunks of sort of 3 or 4 minutes, so you could watch it on your way to work or on the bus or whatever. What's, I think, nice about that is some of the feedback we've had is that people, they're really getting into it and then it ends. Mm. So I think because of that, to run it all as one, you almost don't mind because it's like, oh, great, you know, you want to, hopefully it's ending where you want to see the next one.
Obviously, Horizon is taking place over quite a short period of time. It's going quite quickly. The episodes are quite short as well. And so you want to get an element of sort of character development and character change and character arcs, and you want to be able to do that, and you want to be able to put a character in a position where they're either tackling flaws or we're exploring elements of them, but we don't want to make it so contrived in that short amount of time that we're really forcing these things to happen. So I think that was the challenge that we had, and why sometimes we've had to go, okay, well, let's stop and let's see how we can get this person from who they are here to being who we want them to be at the end and make that happen in a realistic way. And I think that's been the challenge and what we've tried to do.
I'm assuming you're working on a pretty tight budget.
Very tight.
Basically whatever we could afford. It's calling in a lot of favours.
Some days I ate steak, some days I had beans.
Some days you had nothing.
And sometimes I was around my mum's.
How does that actually impact on it?
We've been very fortunate, myself and Paul, over the last few years. We've built up a great network of people in Bristol that are willing to work on these kind of projects because they love doing it. And so we felt confident to tackle something on this scale. And we were kind of writing within our means in that, you know, we wanted this to have a sense of scale, but, you know, we didn't want it to feel like something that had just been, you know, that had been made on no money and it's obvious, you know. So every now and again we knew we needed these glimpses of a sort of bigger picture or something that was happening. So some stuff was written because we'd been there before and knew we could get it. But there were some nice happy accidents along the way. So we wrote an episode because we wanted to give a sense of people basically looting shops and rioting. So we wrote an episode to take place in a shop. We thought we're never going to be able to do that with a load of extras running around and all that kind of stuff. So we basically had written it to take place in like a small family newsagent that had already been looted by the time the characters get there, so it's just a mess. And then actually Paul made a call to the producers of the Sky One show Trolleyed, who film at the Bossy Yard here in Bristol, who obviously have this whole supermarket set, and they were kind enough to let us shoot there. So suddenly that opens up the whole episode and we were able to fill it with extras, and you've got people running back and forth with, you know, shopping and dropping stuff, and, you know, that really kind of helped shape the show, you know, to give it that sense of scale.
You don't want to make a show about Panic in the City where we never see the city. I've seen films like that before where it's all on sound and it doesn't work. I suppose that's where the visual effects come in as well, where we go, do you know what, we need a shot of a traffic jam coming out of Bristol. We need Bristol in the background, we need the ship in the sky, and we need a big traffic jam. We need to film that. Now, that means either hedging your bets and trying to find a traffic jam in Bristol and have the camera on us, or but we'd have to be there at the same time and it'd have to be in the right direction, and even small things like, you know, it'd have to be cars rather than lorries necessarily, because otherwise it just looks, I don't know, all those small little elements.
Well, and also ideally the other carriageway's got to be
empty.
Empty, because everyone's going in one direction.
And we ended up doing a shot, which is actually a visual effects shot, and it's a complete map painting, it's a complete composite, where we filmed the traffic from one direction, we filmed the other traffic from the other direction, put the city in, painted a few things out, put the police cars in, put a burning car in, and this map painting took us, I don't know, a couple of days, and it's in episode 10, it lasts for, what, 3 seconds?
Yeah.
But it's enough just to say, wide shot city, people are leaving. And it's those sorts of things that you kind of, which add a bit more value to the show, really, rather than just hearing sirens all the time.
Yeah. How long did it take, the whole shoot?
Basically, it was spread out through January 2014, because that's a fairly quiet time in the industry, so the friends that were working on it, we knew we could kind of get their services. And basically, I think altogether it came to about 10 days, but it was spread out on odd weekends and days when people were available, essentially.
And the post-production?
Decades. Like Simon said, we finished January, 2014, and we finished. Well, actually, I've got two shots to do for episode 10. So that's just finished. So you, I don't know, 18 months.
It's the little things you kind of take for granted as well. Like, you know, obviously there's obvious shots like the spaceship or some, you know, muzzle flash on a gun. But then also, oh, actually, let's replace the sky here because it was a bit overcast that day. Or, you know, we need to change the screen on this guy's phone so that his Facebook feed is correct and all this kind of stuff. And all these things add up. So we had something like 140 effect shots in total. And admittedly, we were guilty, I think, a little bit in the writing stage of kind of, because you can do all this stuff, so, I say easily now, but you know what I mean, from a laptop from home or whatever. You know, we were like, oh yeah, let's do this. And it all added up. So, I mean, our effects guys did great work, but that's why it took so long.
So what have you got left to do for episode 10?
Actually, there's a post-credits tease.
In stolen from style of classic
Marvel.
Everything now.
It's fully CG Samuel L. Jackson.
Absolutely.
Who arrives at the end and goes, oh, I've been watching you. I got a plan.
Religion comes up. So what do you think, the three of you, would happen to religious faith if that happened?
I think so, we have that in there, and I think it's there because it's one of those big questions which I think you kind of have to tackle at least a little bit, because you know something is going to happen. You know there's going to be, and it's interesting, I mean there's been whole films tag. I mean, look at Signs. What effect would that have on someone with faith in something like that? Does it throw everything out? Do they suddenly go, it's all in the bin? Some people aren't all going to say that. Some people are going to go,
this is
part of the plan. People are going to go, well, this is something else. You'd have so many different reactions, I think.
I mean, it's basically one of the things we discussed in the sort of writers' meetings is, you know, again, I said we had that starting point of what would happen if the ship arrived. And that's one of those things, as Chris said, that would inevitably come up. So we kind of felt we had to address
it. There's a book that I'm just started, actually, called When Prophecy Fails. And it's a true account of a group of, I think it was kind of like a cult in the States, who were kind of predicting the end of the world. And this author kind of got in with them as a kind of covert undercover reporter type thing. And basically wanted to know how they dealt with it when the world didn't end. And the whole point of the book, what they found was, instead of questioning their beliefs, they actually said, it hasn't happened, but this is why. And they made justifications for why. And obviously their God has now decided to spare them. So instead of it being, well, actually, you're smack bang in the face of, you know, controversy as to what, you know, kind of your contradicting faith your faith, they actually make excuses for that. And that's what the whole book is around, and how these people make excuses for it, really.
You're kind of always going to see the evidence to back up your own belief, no matter what it's to do with.
Yeah.
So if you're biased in one direction or the other, you can likely spin whatever it is into, you know, into supporting your belief.
Confirmation bias.
I've mellowed out. I mean, I used to be quite a hardcore atheist, and I still am an atheist, but I've mellowed out, I think, as I've got older. And I think it's because you start to realise that it does tie in with the writing and characters and seeing things from different points of view. I don't think we do appreciate how different each other are. I think that's the biggest problem with everything. I don't think we realise how different it is to be someone else. And I know that it's we've got abstract, but like, I think it's one of the biggest things. We can't see things from other points of view. We can try.
For the answers to these and more, horizonwebseries.com.
And
how to dodge bullets. How to dodge bullets.
All these big questions.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? Exactly.
We've left it open for a potential follow-up, which people who have seen the whole series by now will know. We're, you know, waiting to see what the reaction's going to be to potentially crowdfund a second season if there's the demand for it. Inevitably, as we were writing it, you can't help but talk about what other ideas would be.
And it just depends on the crowdfunding, really. We're not going to touch it unless we get crowdfunding, unfortunately, because, you know, obviously it was a passion project and Simon and I pretty much financed the thing, so we can't afford to do that again.
Certain favours you can't call in twice.
No.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair on some of the people who worked very, very hard.
If we determine, okay, the demand is there, then we'll set up a campaign page and say, hey,
offer
various incentives if you want to turn up and be in it and things like that. So, you know,
let us know if you do, and we'll.
Thank you.
And what feedback are you getting?
So far, it's been really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, we did a big sort of push on Facebook and things, which I guess sounds like maybe how you discovered it, where we were getting some funny comments on the trailer. I think Chris mentioned one where somebody said, they're not getting my money. Well, it's for free. Someone even said, is this real or is it a film? And this was a shot of an alien ship over the suspension bridge.
Yeah.
Since the show came out, I haven't really seen anything negative. You know.
And people have kind of ran with stuff in a way we never expected. For example, certain characters people have really responded to.
Yeah.
Like Nicole, people have gone, are really into this character. Like, oh god, she's like, we like the banter between these people, and it's just
which is great because initially they're set up as quite a hard nosed character and they're not necessarily the most likable, and they sort of have a turn probably through. But the fact that people respond to them straight away, it's really interesting to see what people pick up on and what people run with. The discussion has been fun. Little things we plant, like there's this mark.
People have taken screenshots.
The screenshot thing. People have taken screenshots and circled it in Photoshop.
And what does this mean?
And what does it mean? And you just think,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, people have had that level of interaction where they've not only watched it, but they're really thinking about it and go into those lengths to then, you know, message us or whatever and say, hey, what's going on here?
I mean, I saw something the other day where someone posted on Facebook where I'm not going to say the word, but they just went, four letter word. Horizon Web Series is four letter word, amazing. Why aren't you all watching it? And it's just like, that's fantastic, you know. And because we were kind of waiting for the all right, I guess kind of reaction. And
we were worried because we've been building it for a while now. Well, you know, we put the first trailer, I think, January this year. So we've had, you know, a good sort of 6-7 months or more of people kind of anticipating it and us trying to build hype and things. And then we were worried, God, are people going to watch it and go, oh,
yeah,
is that what the fuss was about?
I think the only complaint we have had is that they wish it was longer. And it should be on TV. Yeah. And it's like, well,
and when they put
the
money in
both.
Season 2,
Thank you so much to Chris, Paul and Simon. Fantastic to have you here in the shed. We wish you all the best. If anyone hasn't seen Horizon Web Series, do go to watch it now, horizonwebseries.com, or you can find it on YouTube and Vimeo, etc. It's all up there now. And enjoy it. Enjoy Bristol's alien invasion. We'll be back soon with two more episodes of The Cosmic Shed. We have The Martian with a little bit more of my interview with Andy Weir. And that's the film version of The Martian. We're covering that one. And we have Contact, the film based on the Carl Sagan book. And we have an interview with Jill Tarter. If you don't know who that is, Google and you will find just how excited I am. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.
So we were actually recording on the night
episode 6
went live. So we took the opportunity to screen the episode here in the Cosmic Shed. And Paul, Chris and Simon did a writer's commentary live to the episode as it went out.
Right, so this is a live commentary on episode Horizon. 6 of Horizon. Chris, you should probably take the lead as you wrote this one.
Yeah, I wrote this. Straight away. There's no explosions. There's no spaceships. So don't complain. You've been warned.
We were trying to add a little bit of character, you know, along the way. It can't all be explosions.
Yeah, character.
But I think what's nice about this one is it's a real turning point for Nicole, played by Kate Marie Davies. She's a very good actress, and she starts off as someone who's sort of tough and hard-nosed and maybe a bit bitchy to some of the other people, so this is maybe a turning point where you see her as someone a bit more vulnerable and where she kind of comes into her own a bit more. An introduction of this man.
Who is he?
Me.
Where am I?
So this actual episode was shot back to back with episode 8. It hasn't been screened yet. But the actors were spending episode 8 like running around being shot at, and then they had to do this episode, which is quite an intense dialogue bit, I think, in the last sort of 4 hours of the day, from about 8 o'clock till midnight, so they were quite exhausted. So fair play to both of them.
And I think, you know, it was fun. We've worked with this Jason Allen, who plays Sanders. We've worked with him before, and you know, he's got a really good look. And I think, you know, what was nice about this episode is obviously we wanted to have a character where you're not quite sure whether they are good or bad or what their intentions are, and just play with people's expectations a little bit. And also, he's kind of the first one to sort of raise the question of why, or the fact that the aliens, or I say aliens, the ship hasn't done anything yet, really, and that it's kind of us that are causing the damage thus far with the looting and the rioting. That's actually, so the knife he picks up is actually the same one that Paul Tonkin uses. We should have had more than one prop knife, but we basically just put gaffer tape over the handle there.
Apocalypse chic. That's the first line that you don't expect to hear.
Well done, Chris.
It's the first of weird lines that come up.
So much fun. Oh, he's down. That was probably how Jason felt on the day, actually. Okay.
Yeah.
I need your help with something.
Okay, so Nicole having to get her hands dirty.
So what was it? So Chris, obviously, because we kind of in the writing room, which was our living room, we discussed that basically this would be an episode to introduce Sanders, fleshed out Kate's character a bit more. But other than that,
you, Chris, kind of essentially built this episode from scratch. So what were you, you know, where did this all come from, and what were you thinking?
I think it was forcing someone who's maybe was quite hard and quite tough in maybe a corporate sense, but not in a real sense. So we wanted to put her with someone who was quite... who was kind of quite visceral and was quite practical and quite hands-on, and then suddenly she has to do something like this, where she literally has to get down in the blood. She has to do something vital, something important, and something which, you know, has a direct implication on someone else's life. So, as she says, something a bit real.
I think this is actually the first time you see her, like you say, a little bit more approachable and human, I think. She's not shouting or being bitchy. She's actually quite, you know... We see the real her. Yeah. And I think there's a line coming up in episode 9 where Stephen actually says she puts most of it on as quite a front.
And you seem pretty young.
Yeah, we sort of see that now. And I think, yeah, it was important to us amongst kind of all the effect stuff and, you know, the more sort of action-led episodes that we try and build in these character moments wherever we can, where we kind of get a sense of who these people are, so that hopefully, you know, you care about them more and more, even though you're only getting sort of 3-4 minute glimpses of them at a time. And I think this episode's, you know, does that really nicely. It sort of changes how you think about her, and you know,
well, we're giving her some credit as well. I think going through that as well, we're trying to just give her a bit of understanding of who she is, where she comes from. So that was the intention as well. Jason there with his tattoos, always interesting. There's a story behind them, isn't there?
Yeah. You can see his arm shaking here on the bottom in the corner there, and that's actually real because he is freezing cold. Because where we shot this in January is just an empty warehouse, and it's like I say, by the time we filmed this bit, it was probably about 11:30.
I think you did like what, 16-hour days? Yeah, crazy filming that episode. Is it so? Chris wrote this, and I was involved in the writing and producing the show, but I wasn't present for the shooting. So Paul actually, who directed all the episodes, you know, had some tough days, this being one of them, where, as he said, he shot 2 episodes back to back, one of which being episode 8, which is very action packed, and then this is total contrast to this. But by the time he got onto this episode, it was what, 10 or 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
So, because for the most part during the show, we shot, I think, an episode a day, which is like sort of 5-6 pages of script, so it was quite a lot to get through. So there was no real time. This was probably the only episode I think we rehearsed where these guys went beforehand and specifically went through these scenes. But a lot of the rest of the time, people just had to turn up, and it was just a case of right, go, 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 and we just kept the camera rolling. You didn't necessarily do another take where you ran the whole scene again. You would just stop in the middle of taking, go, okay, quickly pick up that line again, or change this, change that, because that was the only way we could do it, really, to get everything done on time, especially episodes where you're outside and you're chasing the light. But yeah, this is shot in a warehouse location called the Bottle Yard Studios, in Whitchurch in Bristol, where they also shoot Trolleyed and Poldark and various other shows.
Well, here's the cliffhanger for the end of the episode.
So I think this was kind of the only lead-in that we gave Chris, is that it basically has to end with this happening.
So we've got some speculation about what's happening, and now
guns of yours?
And finally there's guns in it.
We've got a complication.
And a shotgun.
That's what we want.
So hopefully if the concentration of dialogue was making you tail off and go, oh, I might leave it, the shotgun at the end just brings you back
in. Exactly, straight back in.
Yeah.
All the fans are like, oh, thank God, bit of action.
Going to be a shootout or something.
So, hopefully you enjoyed that and plan to watch the rest.
Yeah, do watch the rest. Cause
please, we need our numbers to go up from 1 to 2.
There's only one more like that. The rest is pretty action-packed.